Hey, good job, sweetheart. Everybody in the choir did a wonderful job. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. We're just going to look at a few verses. Well, really, just the one opening verse. I got a few that we're going to share with you, but. You know, the scriptures talk about a lot of the same thing that we celebrate in our country. And I am so grateful for the sacrifices that so many people have made. My dad was a Marine in World War II. And we have a history of people in our family that was been in the military. And I know in many years as well. And we look back to the sacrifices that people have made, and we sometimes maybe the generation growing up now doesn't have the same understanding of what it's like to be in a nation that's under war. I mean, we've had some wars with conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq and some others that our soldiers are still involved in around the world. But it's not affecting the spirit of our nation, you might say, as a couple of occasions have in our past. When we look at 9/11, we weren't actually in a war then. We didn't know that. But it affected our nation in a way that we realized that we could be under attack. And it got people's attention. Before then, it was at Pearl Harbor, and we knew that the war was going on, and we were trying not to really be in the midst of all that, but we knew the conflict was going on, and we tried to take preparations ahead of time to be aware of that. But when we were attacked in our own land in Hawaii, that brought some attention to some people. And when you grow up in those that may be here that may have been involved in this country when we were under an actual war that affected our country and rations and food and supply and all the other things that go along with that, you appreciate those that gave their life that we could still have freedoms. The unfortunately, sometimes the generation we live in today, the younger people, they hear the stories, they hear the history in the books, but they didn't experience what some of us have experienced, some of you have experienced, when we've been involved in a conflict and war that really changes the outlook of a nation. And we're so grateful that people are dying, that we could win certain battles, that we could still have our liberties. That was what the whole point of them was, is because we believe that our liberty is at stake, and in some other wars that we had in. Sometimes our country is concerned about communism being spread more than democracy, and so we try to be involved in helping other nations become more democratic like us so we could, but it still had to do with us. Anytime our nation got involved in anything, it had nothing, we didn't just, oh, we just love you so much, we're going to support you and fight for you. No, we had our own interests in mind. There was always something we had in mind and why we wanted to help out. But we miss that sometimes when we don't study and have to go through some of the things that our forefathers went through, grandmothers, grandfathers, grandparents, great-grandparents, others went through some things, and we may not ever understand what they went through, but we are grateful. Amen. For the sacrifices they all made, and we're grateful for the blood that was shed for our freedom today. And so I hope that during this day and this weekend that, you know, we realize that it's fun to go tubing, but it's more fun to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's fun to go fishing, amen, but it's better to be in the house of the Lord. It's fun to go, people with all these boats and motorcycles, and they're hitting the lakes, and they're going out and they're having a great time on this more weekend. But I would rather be in the house of the Lord. I find more fun in that, and it gives me an opportunity to remember some things. And so for this day, we're going to remember some things. But throughout time, we know in our nation, as you study everything in our nation, there's been many and many conflicts and many wars and hundreds of thousands of lives that were shed and for our sake today, that we can have the freedoms that we have. And so what we look at, though, is in the Bible and for God, and of course, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he made the ultimate sacrifice. And we, without him, have no salvation. We would not know what we need to do without that. But because of his sacrifice, his salvation, it allowed us to enter into the kingdom of heaven and to be involved in the work of God and to allow his work to flow through us so that we, as the Bible says, can be soldiers for him, that we could do the work and fight the battles on his behalf, that they may be won going forward. And if we've never been involved in those battles, if we've never been involved and have the scars of spiritual battles and battles that God brings us through, we'll never really appreciate and understand what God wants us to do and the sacrifice that he made for us, because we're not in that situation. And so today I just want to study a few things that the Bible brings out about these other people, these other witnesses. And if you go back and read chapter 11 in Hebrews is really what we call the faith chapter, because it talks about all these different people, and by faith they did this, and by faith they did that, and by faith it talks about Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Sarah, Rahab. It talks about many people in there and what they did by faith. And it talks about in verse 32, and if what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, attained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. For the others had trial and cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, the bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and torment, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So what that's saying is all these people before Jesus Christ were serving God, were standing for God, were conquering nations, were dying under the sword for one purpose, to serve their God and have liberty in their God. They gave their life through faith in the Lord God Almighty. And then it tells us in verse number 1, chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about all those people in the past and all those people up to this time that has been written, all those people that gave their life for God, all those people that served God by faith, all those people that did wonderful works for God, we're encompassed or we're surrounded by a cloud of these witnesses that remind us of the sacrifices they made for their God. And the sacrifices that we can make for our God. It says, while we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, as we celebrate Memorial Day, and as you remember what the things happened in our nation over the many, many years, let's not forget those witnesses, those martyrs, those saints of God that gave their life for God when they were on this earth. Amen. I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but make anybody sad, but I want to just mention this, just a couple of them, a few of them that I know of that are from our church. Miss Candy has passed on as with the Lord, Brother Ed's wife, and she sat there many years on that piano, giving her life to God. Many times I'd ask her when she'd come in, "Miss Candy, you feeling okay?" "Yeah, I'm all right." She wasn't. She was in lots of pain. And she would sit down there, and she'd just be in so much pain. You could see it on her face. Some people would have come in and said, man, she seems sad or concerned about something. No, she was just in pain. Yeah. But she was working through it because she didn't want to miss a service. Where she couldn't play that piano for God. That was her ability. That was her service for God. And I forgot how many years you said, but you and your wife met in church. And she was singing then, right? Or playing the piano then? Was she playing? The first hour they were meeting together, they were singing together at the piano. She was still praising God and singing, playing for the Lord. She did it faithfully. I said, well, that's not a whole lot. She didn't conquer nations and everything. She did what God told her to do faithfully. Amen. And she's one of those witnesses that are encompassed about us right now. And she's looking down upon us. She's in glory. Now everything is revealed and everything is fine. Everything's has you have a better understanding now that you're with Christ. And you look back at your life when you're with Christ, as the Bible says, you wonder, man, my life was just a vapor. It was just a moment of time. When you're spending all eternity with God, it's nothing. And then you look back and I just can imagine what you're thinking is, oh, why didn't I just do more? With the time that I had, why did I spend more time with making myself happy instead of making God happy? Oh, I went through a little bit of trouble. I went through a little bit of trial and a little bit of disappointment. But it's nothing that Jesus did, nothing compared to what he did for me. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense until we get there. I was going to post this picture on Facebook on our members page, and I forgot to do it, but I'll do it later. One this weekend, we found a picture of Brother James. And she was holding Layla over there in her arms. She was just like 1 year old or something with a little binky in her mouth. She didn't know what was going on, but I really enjoy that picture. It reminds me of Brother James. And I just can't mention everything that he did for the Lord because he did so much. This radio tower that you have here in Marion was basically built by Brother James. And it had other people involved in that, but he was there for 16, sometimes 18 hours a day trying to help put that tower up so that radio station could bring the gospel out. He would fill in for people as a preacher of God. He pastored a couple of churches, a Solid Rock on the south side, and he helped at another one for several years over in New Braunfels. And he taught Sunday school. And many things he told me when he was growing up, when we first got here, he told me he was a Sunday school teacher. He said, when I was a Sunday school teacher, it was completely different than the Sunday school that we have now. And he had the boys. And he was, of course, in his generation, you could actually discipline kids, and his kids were straight, man. I'm telling you, there's no talking back. There's no running around in church. They were under his rule, and he taught them the Bible, but he taught them how to be a man of God. And he gave his life for God. And I remember those sermons before. Later, he couldn't stand very well, and so he couldn't stand for very long, but right before then, when he could, I'd have him fill in every now and then for us when I was out or just when I wanted to hear him preach. And every single time he came up here, he spoke of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and he explained it with tears running down his eyes because he hated the fact that his Lord was being beaten and crucified for his sins. And it touched them and moved them every time that he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sold out. James was a preacher and a minister and a worker of God, but he was faithful. He showed up to church as best as he could at the end because he had a lot of different difficulties, and he tried his best to show up anytime he could until God brought him home. And he's standing there right there encompassing us in that cloud of witnesses. And there's others from our church that have passed on that have great testimonies, and you know of ones in your life, and I don't want to skip anybody, but also don't want to spend all night on that, but I just want to give you an idea. This cloud of witnesses that surround us, I just want to mention three things today that they might be trying to, if they could, how they could encourage us right now. What would this cloud of witnesses from day one, to those people who were serving God from the creation of this world to today, the saints that we've that have left us from our own church. Sorry, what would they say? I know my family's looking at me. Don't get rid of that. Do something with that. I'm trying. My nose is running. Okay. What would they say right now? Just deal with it. Yeah, I love having my girls in church, but I'm going to use all of y'all for examples now. Y'all just forget. Too late. So, you know, what would these witnesses here we see in Hebrews chapter 11, what would these witnesses say today, Miss Candy and Brother James and others that left, what would they say to encourage us? I think, number one, they would say this. Start trusting God for His forgiveness. You know, as saints of God, we forget and we make mistakes, we fail. But God is willing and ready to forgive us every single time and put us back on track and serving Him if we only ask. And sometimes we don't ask because of guilt and other things, and then we start getting out of service of God and we start causing to fill up our schedule with other things other than what's important that we used to do for God just because we didn't come to God for forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." God wants us to stop denying that grace that we have and be forgiven. We cannot move forward in the grace of God if we're in sin. God says all you have to do is confess that sin, and I'm faithful and just to forgive you that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then that grace that we had before, we can now live again and move through the service of God with the grace of the Lord God Almighty because we have forgiveness. I can just see him up there saying, man, if I would just wouldn't have wasted so many years of my life and so many hours of my life because I was just in sin and guilty and I wouldn't come to God for forgiveness. What could I have done for God? I think they would say, just start trusting Him more and having that forgiveness. I think also they may say, start humbling yourself before the Almighty God. You know, we get a glimpse of God here and we start serving God and we start doing things for God, but sometimes we forget who God really is. We forget the true holiness of God and how awesome He really is. And we'll start singing songs and we'll start being involved in the work and we'll start doing stuff and we may play songs, we may do some other things, and we forget why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. Because we start thinking that it's a routine. You know, anytime that church and serving God becomes a routine, you're missing something. Because it shouldn't be a routine. Oh, it's time to go to church again. We got to get this over so we can get back and make that roast and start that barbecue. And my boat's all ready to go and I need to get to the lake. You forgot. You forgot the holiness of God. I think the saints of God, when they met God, when Miss Candy met God and Brother James opened his eyes in glory and he saw the awesomeness of God. Can you imagine what that's like? And we're sitting on this earth putting God on our level instead of where He truly needs to be. When was the last time you just humbled yourself before the holy God and said, Lord, you're everything and I am nothing. But by your power and by your strength, I will serve you to the day I die. Yeah. That's the service God wants from his soldiers. Who wants somebody that's going to show up to battle and say, well, I might fight today. I might not. It's really my lunch hour, so I really don't know if I'm going to go with you. You go ahead and you go on. And I'm gonna stay back here for a little while because I got other things I need to do. And you don't want to fight with those people. You want people to stand with you. They're going to be just as faithful as you are so that we can accomplish this battle together. Amen. Start trusting God and ask for forgiveness and start humbling yourself before a holy God. There's a verse I want to read to you. I just can't see it. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. If we never learn to humble ourselves before a holy God, we'll never be able to understand who God really is in our life, because we still think we're somebody. And that's why it mentions to subject or submit yourself to one another, because if you can't submit yourself to each other, you're still proudful. There's still something there that's keeping you. Why can't we serve one another? Because I'm better than you, because I'm taller than you, because I'm prettier than you, because I got more money than you. Why? What is it that keeps us from serving one another? It's our own pride, because we don't really understand humility yet. But God, I think the saints, the saints that are encompassed about us would tell us to learn how to humble yourself before God, because he's worthy. And the last quick thing I wrote down is to start living by faith in the Lord. Yeah, that's what the whole chapter 11 was all about. By faith, Moses. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Abraham. Every one of them. It's talking about how they live by faith. It doesn't say they did great and mighty things. It mentions like one or two things that they'd done by faith, and that was enough to please God. But what God wants out of our life as believers and Christians is stay faithful. I believe the saints that are around us today, if they could call out and say, hey, Marion, stay faithful. Keep reaching people. Keep telling people about the Bible. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep giving out tracts. Keep praying for each other. Keep moving the work forward. Keep going forward. Keep training those kids in the Word of God. Keep teaching those teenagers. Keep changing those diapers in the nursery. Keep singing the songs of praise to God. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Amen. I think that's what they would say. Live by faith. I'm going to read you this one last verse, and I'm going to have to go blow my nose. Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. If all these soldiers and people who gave their life over the many years for our country could talk to this generation, I think it would be like this: contend for the faith. Keep standing up for your country. Keep standing up for freedoms. Keep standing up and do what's right. Don't let our service and our life be for nothing. And the saints of God are come past us about today, and we have all these witnesses for God, and I believe they would tell us as Christians and believers, don't give up on God. Don't give up your faith in God. Don't give up in serving God. Don't give up in doing what you're doing for God, because it's all worth it. Amen. Contend for the faith. That means stand up. Take a stand for the faith. Don't give up on God. Don't quit on your beliefs. Stand for the Word of God. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. This is the truth. This is Bible. This is real. This is all that matters. Don't let anybody change what you believe in this Bible and God's Word for nothing. Contend for the faith. I think that's what they would say. And if you don't believe me, you'll die one day. You can ask them. See if I'm right. Let's stand. Let's have a time of invitation. Our invitation time here is very simple. It's just an opportunity for you to pray to God Himself and get things right in your heart. I don't know what God may be speaking to you about. I know we have people on sermon audio listening. We have people online that are listening. We have people here. I don't know everybody. God does. God knows everybody's heart. I don't need to know it, but God knows. God knows right now if your name is written in the book of life or not. God knows right now if you died right in this place that you're standing, whether you would split hell wide open or you'd be in the arms of Jesus. God knows right now. And I believe we know too. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you never asked Him to forgive you your sins, the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We must be born again. We must have our sins forgiven. And if you ask God to save you today, He'll do just that, just like you are. He'll accept you. And your name will be written in the book of life, and you'll have everlasting life with the Lord. Maybe you're here and you know you're a child of God and you know you're saved. But maybe God brought some things to your mind that are challenging and you just want to get right with God. We all need more help to be faithful. Why don't you just ask Him today, Lord, help me to be more faithful tomorrow than I was yesterday. He'll grant that request because that's what He wants. Whatever you need to do, let God have His way as we pray. Father, thank You for the time we have here today. I ask that You'll bless our invitation time, and people may pray and get their hearts right with You today. Whatever the need is, may You be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. As we pray together, if you want to come to the altar and pray, if you want